So, this morning we move to the second of our prophets in our list of 8th century prophets. It's Hosea, and he's also offering his words in the northern kingdom of Israel. So there's a map for you to look at again. Here's Jerusalem here, there's the border. There's Bethel just across there, and that's Samaria, the capital of the north. And I think I showed you that it's about 50 kilometres only between Jerusalem and Samaria. Hosea's ministry was carried out in the northern kingdom, that is, the kingdom of Israel. One reason why his prophecy is so different from Amos, beautifully consistent but so different, is that he was prophesying in the last years of the reign of Jeroboam II. So he started about 750, halfway through the 8th century. He continued speaking right through to the beginning of the siege of Samaria in 724. His ministry followed closely in time upon that of Amos, and it continued, and this is what I'll spend a few minutes with you on to get the setting, because that helps you understand the words. It continued throughout the troubled years of Assyrian aggressive expansion under the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser III and his successor Shalmaneser. So let's go back here to our map. There's our little part of the world there. There's Samaria and Jerusalem in that little tiny area between Egypt and the rest of the world, which made it so important as a bridge, really, between Asia and India and everywhere and the great Egypt. Well, there it is. Over here is Assyria. Euphrates River, the Tigris River, northern Iraq today. So that's Assyria. Now, Assyria in our period, for reasons I'll show you on the next slide, begins its aggression in this area. So Hosea is living in a different world. He's not actually focusing particularly on the ins and outs of wealth and poverty within Israel and the shock of all that we talked about last week. He's now thinking that, well, why is God allowing this? Because their assumption was that everything that happens is organized by God. You know that. I think it's a wrong assumption, but that was their assumption. And so they have this. So if God's allowing all this, we must have done something wrong. And he's trying to get in and understand the relationship between God and the people in a pretty tortured history. Now, let's look at the history. First of all, we'll look at what was going on in Israel, in the northern kingdom during this period. Jeroboam II was king for whatever that is, 44 years or something. It was a long reign. When he died in 746, which is just the very beginning of Hosea's ministry, he was succeeded by his son Zechariah, who was assassinated by a bloke called Shallum, who in turn was assassinated by Menahem. So within a year, you had, after this long period of stability, you've got three kings in as much in a year. Now, Menahem was there for a little while. He was there from 745 to 738. You don't have to remember any of this, but it might give you... this is all the time when our prophet is speaking. He decided, probably wisely, on a policy of submission to Assyria. You can't fight them, join them. So he accepted... So he was not causing any problem and he was fitting in with them. However, this involved paying a hefty tribute. This was resented by the landowners, the people that Amos was talking about last week. So would you resent it? They're paying it in. That's all going into the coffers and it's landing over in Assyria. It's not doing them any good. So you can imagine the turmoil in the country. When Menahem died in 738, his son Pekahiah continued the father's policy, but was murdered. Because the landowners were... That's what you'd do if you were a landowner. I mean, you mightn't, but some people might. They wanted to get rid of this bloke. He said, I'm going to continue my father's policy. Well, bugger you. So a bloke called Pekah took over, and he decided to look to support to Egypt. So now you've got a swing of policy away from Assyria. Well, if you swing away from Assyria, my dear brethren, you're going to have problems, because Assyria won't like it, and Assyria didn't like it, and let's look what happened. Again, this is all during the period of our dear prophet. There's Pekah. He's the king from 735 to 732. And in 734, as a result of his going towards Egypt, and Egypt was happy with this, because Egypt and Assyria were always at each other's throats, and they're on both sides of the area. Tiglath-Pileser III came in and he conquered Philistia. He conquered the area bordering the Mediterranean, so from the north to the south. So part of Israel, that part which borders the Mediterranean. So he took a straight line down to Egypt. In 733, the next year, he wasn't satisfied with that. He took Gilead, which is on the east side of the Jordan River, in the northeast side of it. And he took Galilee. So that's all the hill country, well, you know about, I presume, including the Valley of Jezreel. Now, the Valley of Jezreel, maybe if I show you the map again, it'll be easier. Here, you've got the mountains are like that. That's the hill country. It's a north-south. But here, along there, there's a traverse valley. It's the Valley of Esdraelon, or the Valley of Jezreel. And that's across. So he took all Galilee, he took all the way down there, including Philistia, and now he's taken Galilee and the Jezreel Valley. So all that's left is the hill country of Samaria, the area called Joseph, or Ephraim and Manasseh. So that's all that's they've got. So they've lost where they get all their wheat. And the valley was the richest part of it, so they lost that. So they're in pretty dire straits, really. So then Pekah was assassinated. So there's a bit of this going on. Who'd want to be king in Israel at this stage? I don't know, but they're ambitious. By a man called, and don't mix him up with our prophet, Hoshea. So there's an H in there, who... He was the last of the kings of the northern Israel from 732 to 724. He reverted, wisely, to go back to Assyria. Why wouldn't you? Because they've nearly lost everything. They're going to lose the lot if they don't. In 734, however, 724, Hoshea decided to turn to Egypt, because they just running out of dough. They were getting sick of this, and people were stirring. So he thought, well, here's an opportunity to get Egypt to come in on our side and get rid of Assyria. Shalmaneser V now invaded Ephraim, invaded the northern kingdom. Hoshea was taken prisoner. The Assyrian forces besieged the capital, Samaria. Samaria valiantly resisted for 3 years, but was finally forced to surrender by Shalmaneser's successor, Sargon II, in 721. And 721 marks the end of Israel. The northern kingdom vanishes from history forever till Israel came in after the... What date did Israel... 1948. So from 721 to 1948, there was no northern kingdom. He's preaching in that northern kingdom. OK, that's enough on that nearly. And he's in this situation of assassinations going on all the time, landowner upset, going from Egypt to Assyria, armies coming through the place... That's the situation which is so different from that of Amos. Hence, his prophecy is so different. And to conclude this with the first words of our prophecy, that is the superscription, they call it, the editorial heading introducing us to where we're going, it says, "The word of Yahweh that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of..." And since it's written in Judah... It gives you the Judah kings, which are not that relevant, actually, to his, because he wasn't there. But the days of Uzziah, that was, again, a long reign, contemporary with Jeroboam II, but going a bit longer. Jotham, Now, Jotham was his son, but in the last years, whatever that adds up to there, 6 years of Uzziah's life, he had it wouldn't have been leprosy, but it was like leprosy. He had to retire from public life. Well, whatever it was, he had to retire from public life, and so Jotham was king in his name, but not strictly king, regent, I think they called it. Then, when he died, Uzziah, he took over for those 2-3 years as king. He was in turn, at the time of Ahaz, 734 to 727, which is really central to Isaiah's prophecy, which is next on the list, and Hezekiah. Now, the Bible gives you two datings which look to be contradictory, and I'm only giving you my own little hunch about this, but I think it's a good one. When you've got a big ego, you know, it's hard to live with. You kind of keep thinking all your ideas are good, but anyhow, I'm happy to be shown they're not good. But sometimes it says in the Bible that he was king in 727, sometimes in 715. I think it's a fairly simple solution. He was actually very young. He was about 6 in 727. So that's when he became king, yes, but he couldn't yet exercise his reign. He was under his mother-in-law or his grandmother or somebody, and off through those years, and then he became king after the time of Hosea. So that's the period of Hosea. A little bit of the last few years of Jeroboam II, all those coups d'etat that were going on, and then the final king, 732 to 724, here's Hosea prior to the collapse of Samaria. So have you got the setting? It's all you need. You don't remember any of it. It's in the book if you want to read the book. And now I'll just pause for a minute.